All right, Jabo said, let's begin. A lot to do today. Today's daf is Mem Tes. We are picking up at the Gemara on Mem Ches Amud Beis, the bottom of 48b. What's our shir this morning? We actually, Baruch Hashem, have a Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Sivan to thank David and Roberta Schwartz for dedicating all of our shiurim this month. We also have a daily sponsor, an anonymous sponsor in honor of Rabbi Zalman Nissel's birthday. Mazel Tov, Ad Mev Esim Shonim Tovos. Mazel Tov. And also shir is sponsored by Jason Leland in memory of his father-in-law, Sender Ben Fischel, Zichrono Livracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an Aliyah and the family a Nechama. Both said with that, let's begin. Gemara, bottom of the Daf. So remember, again, we went through all of the fascinating cases in the Mishnah. So says the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, excuse me. Mishna Shnei Kohanim. So remember again, the case that the Mishnah is referencing over here is if you have two women who had both given birth to for the first time, each right, and the father, one father, and ultimately again, so the father, they both give birth to boys, so the father goes ahead and gives 10 slum, 5 slum for each son to the Kohen. So the Mishnah says that if one of the sons died within 30 days, so remember again, what's the halacha? If at the end of the day he gave the money to one Kohen, he can get 5 slum back. If he gave the money to 2 Kohanim, he can't get the money back. Why? Because each of the Kohanim could say what? The one who redeemed the child who passed away, that was the other Kohen, that wasn't me. Go to him and collect the money from him. So Gemara says, Mishna Shnei Kohanim, Do Azal Gabe Hayam Mitchilei, Va Azal Gabe Hayam Mitchilei. So in the case of 2 Kohanim, each one could go ahead and push the father to collect from the other. Kohen Echonami, Leizel Lagabe Haivalitche, Leizel Lagabe Haivalitche. But I don't understand, even if it's one Kohen, could not one Kohen do the same thing as well? We'll say again, assuming that it was the case of the one Kohen and the two fathers, to which the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, what's the case here? Top of Mem Tes Amud Aleph, Beba Bahar Shah. To which Shmuel says, the case we'll say is where the two fathers in question over here signed the Shtar Harshah. So remember again, a Shtar Harshah is a document in which you allow someone to collect or to do something on your behalf. In this case, it's collect. So if the two fathers in question over here sign a Shtar Harshah and they show up at the Kohen's doorstep, so essentially what that does is like this. The two fathers essentially pool their interests. And by pooling their interests, what they tell the Kohen is, look, we know that you owe one of us money. We have now pooled our interest, and therefore, again, pay the money. We'll figure out, ultimately, again, how to divide it up amongst ourselves. But aloch lemaisa, you have to pay. Va'ami nardoi lo kasvinon ad karta amataltali. But yet the nardoim said that what? We do not write a shtar harshah, ultimately unmovable property. So it's actually an interesting idea. Rashi points out over here, we don't write the shtar harshah, unmovable property, because generally, again, what happens over here is if the person, the debtor, denies it, it looks, the shtar looks like it is a false shtar, to which the Gemara says, Hani mi lihecha de kafre. That's only when the person in question denies the claim. Aval hecha de lo kafre kasvinan. But ultimately, again, where the, is it the claimant, is the person making the claim? So who's the person they're making the claim against? Claimee. Right, good. Right, the person they're making the claim against is not denying it. So, for example, in this case, the Kohen's not denying it. He's just ultimately, again, saying that he does that you can't prove which of the children passed away. Ultimately, again, that's not called a kfira, and therefore you can write a harsha in that case. Next, zachon the keva in kam the Kohen klum. So, let's remember again, this is referring ultimately, again, to the situation of two women married to two men. The women had never given birth before. If one gives birth to a girl, one gives birth to a boy, ultimately both of the fathers are pater from paying the Kohen. Remember again, the children are mixed up. But when the son comes of age, he has to redeem himself. So the fathers are pater. Why? Because each father could claim what? The daughter was mine. Right? The daughter was mine. Therefore, I'm exempt from paying Yonaben. At the end of the day, however, excuse me, so each of the fathers could claim, the daughter is mine, and therefore I am exempt. However, we know that this son is a firstborn son, and therefore when he comes of age, he must perform the pigyon on himself. To which the Gemara says, Tana Rav Huna, Shnei Zechar Munakeva, if there are two boys and one girl, ain kan le kohen klum. So once again, the kohen does not get anything. So remember again, this would be a similar type of case, because if there are two women, right, two husbands, and between them again there's three children who are born, each of the fathers could claim that his firstborn ultimately again was the girl, but there is definitely a bechor over here. So when the bechor comes of age, he must redeem himself. V'tana didan. So we'll say, so why doesn't our Tana include this case? I suppose this case can only be found in a case of two husbands and two mothers. However, but this case would not work in a situation of what? One father, right? One man and two women. Why? Because if it was one man and two women, this man definitely has to go ahead and contribute pigyon haben money to the coin. Why? Because there's definitely a bechor. So we'll say, so essentially, therefore, again, lo masnila. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the Mishnah only wanted to state cases that work both by two men and two women and one man and two women. Therefore, it excludes this last case. Good, says the Mishnah. Meis haben besoch shloshim. We'll say, an interesting situation. If the son dies within 30 days. Now, both say, so just to understand, we have not mentioned this explicitly, although we're going to get into it now. Pidyon HaBen takes place on day 31. Day 31. So both say, so therefore, the case over here is, the son dies within 30 days. So what's the halacha? Ava pisha nasan lakoin yachzir. So both say, so interestingly enough, the father in question over here prepaid the pinyon. Right? He went ahead, the son is born, he's still excited for the mitzvah. He gives the father the pinyon aben money before the child turns, before the 31st day. So now Nebuch, the son dies. So what's talacha? The Kohen has to return the money. But if the son died after 30 days, afa pi shalom nasan, even if the father did not yet give the money, yitain. He has to give it to the Kohen. In other words, after 30 days, when the obligation of pidyon ultimately, again, has devolved upon the child, devolved upon the father for his child, even if the child subsequently passes away, the father is obligated to give the pidyon money to the Kohen. Meis biyom shloshim. What happens if the child dies on the 30th day itself? Kiyom shalafanav. We'll say day number 30 is treated like the days before. So day number 30 is treated like day number 29. Therefore, the child is not yet subject to pidyon. And therefore, there would be no... Therefore, again, we'll say, if the father had prepaid it, ultimately, again, he'd get the money back from the kohen. And if he had not yet paid it, then halacha lemaaseh, he wouldn't be obligated to do so. Rabbi Akiva says, on day 30, im nasan lo yitol. If he had already paid, you don't take the money back. But if he didn't pay, lo yitain. You don't have to give it back. So Rabbi Akiva seems to have a different version or a different understanding of day number 30. Good. So we'll say, let's analyze. Ultimately, again, now, what's clear from the Mishnah is that halacha l'maaseh pidyon, like we mentioned before, pidyon, the obligation for pidyon only occurs on day number 31. Where do the rabbis get that idea from? Because you also remember, again, the Torah speaks about a 30-day-old child, right? That's when the Torah speaks about pidyon. He's got zachar mi ben chodesh, right? Chodesh is 30 days. So from where do we know that the obligation of pidyon actually doesn't occur until day 31? My time out, Rabbanan, gamri chodesh mi midbar. Well, so this is actually very interesting. We make a gzir shavav chodesh from midbar. Now, both just in the psukim, the first chodesh over here is upiduyav mi ben chodesh tifta be'erkecha kesef chamesh shkalim b'shekel hakodesh esrim geirahu. So remember again, this is the pasuk by Pidyon HaBen. When do you redeem a child? Mi ben chodesh v'malo. From 30 days and above. That's when you redeem a child. So it says chodesh ben chodesh by Pidyon HaBen. And by the midbar it says vayomer shema Moshe pekod kol b'char zachar libnei Yisrael mi ben chodesh v'malo. So we'll say when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to do the census, to conduct the census, he says, Miben Chodesh Vamala. Now watch this. So the Gemara says, Ma Hasam Vamala. See, Rabbeinu, the Torah uses a Lashon over here by Midbar that it doesn't use by Pinyon HaBen. By Midbar, it says Vamala, Chodesh Vamala. So just like by the Midbar, it says Vamala, Rashi says, Mashma Li'achar Shloshim. But say, what does Chodesh Vamala mean? How do we darshan it? What does it mean? 31. 31. So just like by the Midbar, it says, right, Mahasam Vamala. Just like by the Midbar, it's day number 31. So to Rabbosai, the Rabbanon say, wherever the Torah says Chodesh, so the fact that the first time speaks about counting someone from 30 days and on, and use Lashon of Mala to teach us that the count is actually from day 31. So whenever the Torah mandates a count from 30 days, we also include, we always assume that it's also Vamala. It's from day 31 and above. So the Gemara says, Rabbi. So we'll say that's the Rabbanon. And that's why Halacha L'Maisa, according to the Rabbanon, if the child dies on day 30, day 30 is no different than what? Day 29 or day 28 or anything before it. Therefore, if you prepaid the Peyon, you get the money back. And if you didn't pay the Peyon, obviously you don't pay. What about Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva is mistaken. We'll say Rabbi Akiva is not sure about day 30. He's not sure. Specifically, what he's not sure of is, do we learn out the 30 days of Pinyon HaBen from the 30 days of the Midbar? That's what he's not sure of. Look at Rashi. So we'll say, now watch this. So Rabbi Kiva is not sure, do we apply the Vamala concept to Pinyon HaBen or not? So midi itzterich lemichtav Vamala gabe erchin. Rabbi, so listen to this. The fact that it says the word Vamala by erchin, remember again, we had this last week's parasha. Erchin are erech vows, right? Where you go ahead and you make a vow ultimately to what? To give the value of something. So the Torah speaks about, again, miben chodesh vamala. It says vamala by erchin. Velo gemiri b'midbar. Now, interestingly enough, Rabbi Kiva says like this. If it was really true that every single time we say miben chodesh, it's always understood as what? Miben chodesh vamala, learning that from the midbar. If that's the case, then why the need to write vamala by erchin? Yet the Torah goes out of its way to state Vamala Ba'erchin, Velogmir Mimidbar. Therefore, if that's the case, Havalu Shnei Ksuvin Abayin Ke'achon, therefore, we'll say, therefore, you have two instances in the Torah, Midbar and Erchin, where it says Vamala, teaching me that the halacha doesn't apply until day 31. B'chol Shnei, we'll say, now, general, when the Torah states something once, so usually that can be understood to what? To create a paradigm. When it states it twice, it's often understood to be what? If it states it twice, about sides, dafka to say, this is not an overarching principle, but rather it just simply applies in the two areas in which it is stated. Or perhaps you could say like this, we'll say, when do we say that you can't learn out the principle? That's in general. Aval legufaihu melandin. But ultimately, again, for the specific cases themselves, you would be able to go ahead and learn. Look at Rashi. Avalu gufayu, first while on Rashi, kigon, bechore doros, mi bechore midbar. So you must remember again, the pasuk of Vamala by the midbar is speaking about the firstborns. So again, I could assume that whatever applied to the firstborns in the desert applies to firstborns going forward as well. So therefore, I will say, Mishum hachi, misapkin alei. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva himself is in doubt. So I will say, so amazingly enough, the fundamental machlokes in the Rabbanon, Rabbi Akiva, comes down to one word, which is Vamala. The Rabbanon understand that the Vamala modifier by the Midbar comes to tell you that every single time we speak about the Bechor, or for that matter, a 30-day threshold, it's always day number 31. That's the Rabbanon. Rabbi Akiva is Musubak. He's just not sure. And because he's not sure, therefore, again, Abosa, in this case over here, if the child were to die on day number 30, in Rabbi Akiva's view, if you have already paid the Kohen, you cannot get the money back. But if you have not yet paid the Kohen, you would not be obligated to do so. Amar Avashi, Avashi says, HaKol Modim Le'inyan Avelos Yom Shloshim Ki Yom Shelefanov. What is actually very interesting. Avashi says, everyone agrees that for Avelos purposes, if a child dies on day number 30, there is no obligation of Avelos. So this is actually a very important halacha. If a child dies before 30 days, ultimately it's considered to be a nefel. It's considered to be retroactively that it was a non-viable child. And therefore, halacha l'maaseh, there is no obligation of Avelos. Meaning there would be no obligation of Shiva, condition of the sort. And I will say, what happens if the child dies on day number 30? So again, day 31 and above, that child is already considered to be. What happens on day number 30? So the Gemara says, on day number 30, le'inyan avelos, we say 30 is no different than 29, 28, that child is considered an avel, and therefore, again, there is no obligation of avelos on that child. So I'll say, so the Gemara is bringing this up seemingly as a proof that 30 always means 30 v'mala. To which the Gemara says, you can't bring a proof over here by avelos, and I'll tell you, I have Amr Shmuel, halacha kedivrei hamekel be'evel. We both have a general concept that the halacha always follows the lenient opinion when it comes to avelos. We saw this in Moed Katan, general principle, that whenever it comes to matters of avelos, we are always mekel. Now, I will say the truth is, this is not necessarily unique to avelos. More often than not, it has to do with the fact that avelos is at most, almost all of avelos, 99% of avelos, is a dirabanan. Pretty much the only d'oraisa we have when it comes to avelos is that you have to bury the dead in the ground. Other than that, almost everything else that we have associated with hilchos avelos is dirabanan. So essentially, when we say hil halacha kedivrei hamekel be'evel, what we're effectively saying is what? So safek dirabanan l'kula. So therefore, I will say from this halacha itself, you would not be able to go ahead and bring a raya to the shloshim v'mala or not. So just to appreciate the halacha l'mais over here. Here's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. This is in Hilchos Pidyon Aben, Simin Shinhei Sif Yud Beis. Meis Haben Besoch Shloshim, Vafilu Biyom Shloshim. So the halacha is, ultimately, again, if the child dies, right, within the 30 days, or even on the 30th day itself, Eino Chayiv Bepidyon. Ultimately, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that halacha l'maisa, the father would not be Chayiv in Pidyon. The Pidyon only exists when? Vafilu Higdiv Venasan Akoin Lekoin Pidyon, even if the father prepaid the pidyon money, yachzi renu lo. Ultimately, again, the coin goes ahead and gives the money back. So we'll say, so we paskin, like the Rabbanan, the din of pidyon only applies from day 31 and above, and ultimately day number 30 is counted just like the days before. Now we'll say, the Rama happens to add in a fascinating note over here. Meis la'achar shloshim. The Gemara mentioned this tangentially, but it's fascinating. What if the child died after 30 days? Chayiv lifdoso. Ultimately, interestingly enough, you're chayif to do pidyon, which I will say is a fascinating halacha. If the child dies, let's say the child dies at day number 32, the father is still obligated to do pidyon even once the child has passed away. Now that says Shulchan Aruch ulevarech al pidyon. You make a bracha on the pidyon. In other words, once the child passes day number 31, that mitzvah exists, and even if chas v'shalom the child passes away, there's still an obligation for pidyon. Interestingly enough, with one exception, aval lo yivarech shachiyanu. So I'll say, so remember again, under normal circumstances, if you're zochah to make a pidyon aben, so the bracha you say is, a mitzvahs pidyon aben, right? Or the dos es haben, there are different girsos. And then you would say a shachiyanu. If the child passed away, you would still make a bracha on the pidyon, but of course, no shachiyanu. Says the Mishnah, me'sa'ab besok shloshim. What's another interesting case? What happens if the father dies within 30 days? So the child is perfectly fine. The father passes away. So listen to this. So here's the interesting case that comes up here. Father passed away. They're straightening out the matters of his estate. So one of the questions that comes up after they straighten out his estate is what? Is it possible that maybe he took advantage of the prepaid pidyon plan? Right? Prepaid pidyon plan, right? So did he take advantage of the, did he prepay the pidyon? So the Gemara says, chances are, if the father's out within 30 days of the child, becheska shalom nifta, right? Ad shiyavi raya shen nifta. Let's say, we assume generally, people don't prepay pidyon. So therefore, again, if the father dies within 30 days, we assume the son has not been redeemed. La'achar shloshim yom, if the father died after 30 days, becheskas shen nifta, actually very interesting. If the father died after 30 days, we assume that pidyon has been done, unless, of course, it could be proven to the contrary. So this is an interesting case. Who lift those who we don't lift those? We'll say, what happens in the following situation? This actually happens more often than you would think. Father grows up, and he realizes, my parents never did pidyon aben for me. They never did pidyon aben for me. And what happens? He now has a son also. So now I will say, so the Shaila is, but let's say again, he only has 5 slum, right? Well, actually, I take that back. I shouldn't color the case. He has an obligation. So I will say there are 2 pidyon, his own pidyon and his son's pidyon. Whose pidyon takes precedence? Who kodim libno? ultimately, again, his personal pinyon takes precedence over his son's pinyon. Rabbi Huda Omer, b'no kodmo, Rabbi Huda says, no, his son's pinyon actually comes first. Why? Shemitzvaso al aviv umisas b'no alav. Because the way this works is as follows. So let's say I am the person in question over here. I grow up, I have a son, Baruch Hashem, firstborn son. I discover my parents never did my pidyon haben. So let's say, so now there are two pidyons on me, mine and my son's. So the Rabbanon say, I take care of my pidyon first and then my child's. Because my pidyon comes first. Rabbi Huda says, no, my pidyon obligation is on who? Is on my father. My child's pidyon obligation is on who? Is on me. Therefore, the obligation that's on me comes first. And therefore, Yehuda posits, I should be poled to my son before I'm poled to myself. Says the Gemara, Itmar, hapodes b'no b'so shloshim yom. Now this is very interesting because the Mishnah is presupposing that you could actually give the Kohen pidyon money during the 30 days. So now we're going to discuss this. Hapodes b'no b'so shloshim yom. If someone goes ahead and gives the pidyon haben money to the Kohen within the 30 days, Rav Amar Bino Padui, Rav says it works. Ushmuel Amar Ein Bino Padui, and Shmuel says it does not work. So let's analyze this. Dikuli Alma Me'achshav Ein Bino Padui, La'achar Shloshim Yom, Vestu Lamos, Vadei Bino Padui. So I'll say, everyone agrees in the following case. If I give the Kohen money on day 20, and I say, Kohen, I'm here to be poled at my son now. Everyone agrees that what? That doesn't work. Why doesn't that work? It's the same way that if you give your kid a bris milah on day number 6, it doesn't work. There's no obligation ultimately of pinyon haben until day number 31. So to give the Kohen the money on day number 20 and say, here I'm being poled to my son, that doesn't work. On the other hand, to go ahead and give the Kohen the money on day number 20 and tell the Kohen, I'm giving this to you so that on day number 31, my son is redeemed. And the money that I give him is still in existence on day number 31, everyone agrees that what? That will work. Where's the machlokes? Interesting enough, keep ligi. La'achar shloshim yom v'nis achu hamo. So let's listen to this interesting case. The machlokes comes up in the following situation. I give the coin the money on day number 20. But what? And I tell him, I want the pidyon to be chal ultimately again on day number 31. But by the time day number 31 rolls around, the money's gone. He's already used up the money. So what happens in such a situation like that? Rav Amar, b'no padui. Rav says it still works. The pinyon is good. Even if the money's not extant, even if the money's not there, the pinyon works. Why? Midi dehavi akidushe isha. Because we'll say ultimately again, it's no different than with kiddushin. If a man gives kesef kiddushin to a woman, and he says, hari at mikudesh esli, La'achar shloshim yom. This is your kesef kiddushin, it'll be chal after 30 days. We'll say, even if the money is no longer extant after 30 days, the kiddushin is absolutely fine. So Rav says, as long as the father is making it clear that the pinyon is not chal until day number 31, whether the kohen has the money or uses up the money really is irrelevant to us. Midi dehavi kiddush isha. To which the Gemara says, Hasam, lav afa gavdinis achlu maus havi kiddushi. Right? Even by kiddushin, even if the woman uses up the money before the 30 days, the kiddushin is still good. Amadeis, hacha. Hacha nami, loshna. So to have Yerbo say, halacha lamaisa, if the Kohen is given the money on day number 20, as long as the father explicitly says that the pinyon will not be chal until day number 31, even if the Kohen goes and uses up all of the money in the interim, that's irrelevant to us. That's Rav. So we'll say Rav Paskins, that Aloch Lamaisa, the father could give the Kohen, the pidyon money, within the 30 days, as long as he explicitly articulates that what? That the pidyon does not take effect until when? Day number 31. And at that point in time, as long as that is the agreed upon condition, even if Aloch Lamaisa, the Kohen uses up all of the money, so that by the time day 31 rolls around, there is nothing left, doesn't matter, the pidyon is good. And Rabbi say he bases it. Rav's entire argument is based on the comparison to kiddushin. Just like I could be mekadesh and isha, give her kesef kiddushin today, and say this kiddushin will be chal after 30 days. Even if she uses up all of the kesef kiddushin money between now and the 30 days, she has nothing. By the time 30, if day rolls around, the kiddushin is fine. It doesn't make a difference. So to be Rabban will work. Ushmuel Amar, Shmuel will say like this. Shmuel Amar, you can't compare it to kiddushin. I'll tell you why. Hasam Sirabo said the difference in Kiddushin is what? Is that even though he's making a Tanai, that we should get that the Kiddushin should be Chal in 30 days, if he wanted to, he can marry her when? When? Right then and there. So because technically he could affect Kiddushin now, but he's choosing to delay the Kiddushin for whatever the reason, that's why it works even if the money is no longer in existence by the time day number 30 rolls around. Hacha. But say here, when the father gives the coin the money on day number 20, there is no ability to affect pidyon. So that's fine. You could give him the money now and say that the pidyon will take effect, won't take effect until day number 31. But in order for that to really work, what has to happen? The money has to be in existence. So we'll say, so by the way, just want to point out, you'll say to yourself, why would anyone do this? There's very good reasons why people do this. Why would somebody do this? Simplest reason? Might not have it. Kohanic access. Sirabo said, we take it for granted. You find the Kohen. You find the Kohen. Especially, you know, if you're going to offer him, you know, lunch at David Chu's for the Pinyon of Ben, he's going to be there in a heartbeat, right? Yeah. I'll say, but again, I want to point out that, remember, when you're talking about different types of communal setups, where people often live in communities without Kohanim, you found the Kohen, you have a baby boy, you found him on day number 5, day number 20, day number 3, whatever it was, there was a vested interest in getting him the Pinyon of Ben money now. So this is a real shayla. So Shmuel says, halacha l'maisa, in order for this prepaid Pinyon option to work, what's going to be the halacha? The money has to be in existence come day number 31. So it says that, even though we normally say that whenever there's machlokis Rav and Shmuel, the halacha follows Rav in matters of Isser and Shmuel concerning matters of Choshen Mishpat, right? Dini. Halacha. So therefore, both say we'd be tempted to say that over here this is a case of Isser, right? Pinyon Ben is a case of Isser. So I thought that therefore the halacha follows Rav, and therefore you could do exercise the prepaid pinyon option, and what? Even if the money's not left by day number 31, the pinyon works. Here the Gemara tells us not true. The halacha follows Shmuel, which says Rabbi said that what? You can prepay your pinyon, but it only works if what? If the money is in existence come day number 31. So the Gemara says, so tonight we learned in the Mishnah, lamid, listen to this. Going back to the previous Mishnah, we learned that if the father prepaid the pidyon and the son died within 30 days, even though you already gave the money to the Kohen, the Kohen has to give back the money. Why does he have to give back the money? Time of the mace. The reason he has to give back the money is because the child died. Halomes bin al padui. Let's say, what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha lemaisa, the child not died, prepaying the pidyon would work. And I'm going to say the Mishnah makes no reference to what? That the money has to be in existence come day number 31. To which the Gemara says, no, halacha ma'askinon, what's the case? The isnu lemos. Even though the Mishnah doesn't say it explicitly, it's understood that the prepaid pinyon option works when the money is still in existence. So tashma. So I'll say, so remember again, this is in our Mishnah. What did the Braisa say? If the father died within 30 days, the chazaka is that he did not prepay the pidyon. That's the chazaka. Unless, of course, we know for sure that he did prepay the pidyon, to which the Gemara says, so what do you see from here? That if he did prepay the pidyon, it works. Then I will say, now, and we assume that what? This is true even if what? Even if the money is no longer in existence, hasanami diisnu lamaos beinayot. To which the Gemara says, no, once again, we're assuming that if the father did prepay the pidyon, it only works if what? If the money is still in existence. Tani tana kamid Rav Yehuda. So they taught the following halacha before Rav Yehuda. Hapoda es bino b'so shloshim yom bino padui. If you redeemed your son within 30 days, the redemption works. Amar le Shmuel. Amr Shmuel says, "Ein bino padui." Shmuel says, "No, it doesn't work." Va'at amrit bino padui, and yet you're saying that it does work. Va'af agav the kaim alam kirav bisuri ukishmuel. But the Rabbis say, even though normally we paskin like Rav in matters of Isser, and Rav paskin is over here, that's what. That Allah Chalamai said, not only can you prepay the pidyon, but what? The money need not be in existence come day number 31. Halcha hilchasa. Kavase de Shmuel. But say here, the halacha follows Shmuel. And if you do prepay the pidyon, what is the halacha? The money must be in existence come day number 31. And they both say, the Gemara seems to be pretty resolute. How do we pass the halacha l'may? So both say, this is very important halacha. Very important halacha. Because what happens if you do prepay the pidyon? So both say, so again, remember, everyone is agreeing. Let's go there, everybody. Everyone is agreeing you can prepay the pidyon. Okay? That's point number one. Point number two that everybody agrees with is that what? You can't use Lashon HaMe'achshav. You can't say I'm redeeming my child now. You're saying, when am I redeeming my child as of?
30.
Day number 31. What's the point of contention? Does the money need to be in existence come day number 31 or not? Rav says no. Shmuel says yes. How do we paskin? So also I say, the Gemara seems to be pretty clear that we paskin like Shmuel, that the money needs to be in existence. The Shulchan Aruch paskins in Simon Shin Hei Sif Yud Gimel, Misha Pada B'no B'Soch Shloshim Yom. So we'll say, if I'm redeeming my son within 30 days, Im Amrele Me'achshav Ein B'no Pada. So we'll say, if I use Lashon Me'achshav, I'm telling the coin I want redemption to take effect as of now. Of course, that does not work. Vim Amrele La'achar Shloshim Yom B'no Padui. And ultimately, again, what's the halacha? We'll say that it, right. But if I say after 30 days it works, says the Shulchan Aruch, v'af al pi she'ein hamaos kayamim la'achar lamid yom. So we'll say, so the Shulchan Aruch paskins ultimately like Rav. Obviously, we'll say, you know, when I give you the Shulchan Aruch after giving you the Gemara, I'm skipping every single critical step in the development of halacha. Right, so again, obviously there's a lot that happened between Yaradeh Asim and Shinhei and Becholos Memtes some of the days, but I'm just giving you the Cliff Notes version. Halacha Lamaisa, Shulchan Aruch actually paskins like Rav. Namely, again, that halacha Lamaisa, the money need not be in existence come day number 31. Now, by the way, there's so much about the, just say it's interesting, the Ramah happens to say Hagah, so the Ramah actually says that there is an opinion that holds that if the money is not in existence, come day number 31, that the opinion would not be good. Oh, Sheikh Zirun La'av L'soch Lamed. Now, we'll say, now this very often happens. This very often happens in Pidyon HaBen, right? In Pidyon HaBen, very often, remember again, we're going to discuss this. You have to use 5 silver coins, 5 slime. So what will often happen is, the father, let's say again, I have a set of coins. The father will often be makna those coins to the kohen, and the kohen may choose to go ahead and, doesn't have to, but may choose to go ahead and give back those coins to the father. So the Ramah says, there's an opinion that says that if the money was not in existence, ultimately again at the end of 31 days, or the kohen gave the money back to the father, that afilu b'di'evet ein b'no padui, v'tov l'hachmir l'achzor l'ftosa. So we'll say, I just want to point out over here that ultimately the way that Ramah says is we have a machlokis in halacha. We have the mechaber telling us that the halacha follows Rav, namely the money need not be in existence at the end of day 31. We have the Ramah saying that there is a yesh omrim who says, like Shmuel, that the halacha must be, that the money must be in existence at the end of day 31. So what do you do if you prepaid the pidyon? Right, prepaid the pidyon, and come day number 31, the money is no longer in existence. The coin spent it, or the coin returned it to the father. The Shulchan Aruch seems to say that halacha lemaisa, you should do the pidyon again. Because this is subject to machlokes, ultimately in a circumstance like this, you should do the pidyon again. B'pashas will be without a bracha, but you would do the pidyon again. Interesting. Okay, good. Who lived those? Who lived those? Who couldn't know? So remember again, they will say, this is the last case in the Mishnah. It turns out, I find out that my parents never gave me a pidyon aben. So now, Baruch Hashem, I have a firstborn child. There are two pidyons in front of me, my own and that of my child. So we'll say, so who goes first? So remember again, we had a machlokes. The Rabbanon said, I go first. I do my own pidyon first and then my kids. Rabbi Yehuda said, I do my kids first and then my own. Why? Because, well, let's analyze. It says, Tara Rabbanon, who liftos, who b'no liftos? So the Raisa says as follows, if again, I have to redeem myself and I have to redeem my child, who comes first? Who called them libno? I do my redemption before my son's redemption. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, b'no kodmo. I do my son's redemption first. Why? Shemitzvaso al aviv umitzvas b'no alav. Because technically speaking, my redemption is an obligation upon who? Upon my father. My son's redemption is a mitzvah upon me. Therefore, it makes sense to me to fulfill my obligation rather than fulfill my father's obligation. I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah. So let's analyze this machlokis. I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah. Hakol modim hecha deleka elochami shlam. So we'll say everyone agrees in the following case. Let's say there are only five slum. I only have five slum to my name. So I'll say everyone agrees in this case. Who called them libno? Everyone will agree in that situation that I redeem myself first. Why? My time, mitzvah de day adif. Because you want to say, obviously, a mitzvah that involves my person, right, will take precedence over a mitzvah that involves someone else. So seemingly everyone will agree that halacha lemaisa, my mitzvah ultimately comes before anyone else's mitzvah. Rashi says over here, vidi day, it's actually the Rashi on the top of the daf, three lines out from the top. Chamish lem didei, azul koin, I'm sorry, actually that's not the right place here, sorry. Mitzvah didei adif. So keep the Yerba, say, where does the machlokis come up? It's actually very interesting. Heicha deika chamish mishubados, v'chamish nechorbos. Listen to this case. The machlokis comes up in the following situation. Yerba says, so just to clarify, I am an adult man. According to most opinions, right? I depending on the day, right? I'm an adult man. So say what happens, I'm a firstborn, and I have a child who's a firstborn. My father never did the pinyon on me, and now I have a son who is 31 days old. So apparently everyone will agree that if all I have is five slotim to my name, I take care of my redemption now, my pinyon now, and I worry about my son when I have more money. What happens in the following situation? Let us say I have 10 slotim, right? 10 slotim. So ultimately, again, five of them are what we call the chasim and echorin. They're sitting in my wallet, right? On unencumbered money. Five of them are mishubados, or as I'm supposed to say, they're tied up in property sales. In other words, that I owned property and I sold it. And I want to say what it means that it's mishubad is, the moment, so remember again, when you sell property, if there is a debt against you or a lien against you, that lien often devolves upon your property as well. And I will say, now watch this. This is incredible. If I have never, as an adult man, I've never been redeemed, and I sold property as an adult, technically speaking, there's a lien against that property, right? Who has the lien against that property? The kohen. Now, how you define who the kohen is, who has the lien, is an interesting discussion, but leaving that aside for now, there is, technically speaking, I owe the kohen. I'm an adult, and if my father didn't redeem me, I have an obligation to redeem myself. If I didn't do so, that is a debt I owe to the kohen. So now, as an adult male, I have five slotim unencumbered sitting in my wallet, and five slotim lien from property that I sold to someone else. So watch this. This is incredible. Rabbi Yehuda holds, so also Rabbi Yehuda holds that a debt that is written in the Torah is like a secured debt written in a shtar. But I will say, now what debt is this referring to? Pinyon. So I will say, a debt written in the Torah is a pinyon. I owe a kohen. I now, as an adult male, owe the kohen five slotim for my pinyon. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a biblical debt is as if it's recorded in the shtar, which means that what? When I sell property, that property has what? The kohen has the position of a what? A first position creditor. It's as if he has a debt that is secured by a document, which makes him a first position creditor. Now watch this. This is therefore again. This is wild. Rabbi Yehuda holds, the Kohen has the position as a first position creditor against me. For my pinyon, the Kohen has the right, therefore, to do what? To collect property that I sold in satisfaction of the debt. Which debt? Which debt? My personal pinyon debt. Therefore, we allow the Kohen to collect sold property, to go ahead and pay for my pinyon, and the unencumbered funds that I have, I use that for what? To go ahead and redeem my child. Rabbanan, on the other hand, holds, Rabbanan Savri, Milvak Suva Betora, Lav Kik Suva Shtar Damya. The Rabbanan say, no, look, if you have a debt, a biblical debt, which is what Pinyon Aben is, so we'll say that is like an unsecured creditor. The Kohen cannot go ahead. I will say, first of all, can you imagine if a Kohen was a first position creditor, right? There are so many people walking around without Pinyon. Right, so we'll say, so ultimately again, the Rabbanan say, yes, I owe the coin money, but he is not a first position creditor. it is not as if his debt is secured in a document. Therefore, what? He cannot go around seizing sold property in satisfaction of my unpaid pidyon. For Rabbanon Savri, Milvak Ksuba B'Torah, Lav Kiksuba B'Shtar Damya. Therefore, Sefer Abbas will say, the Kohen can, Sefer Abbas will say, in this case, essentially, I owe two debts to the Kohen, right? I owe ultimately, again, the Kohen money for my own pidyon, and the Kohen money for my child's pidyon. So therefore, what do we do in a situation like this? Hilchach mitzvah didei adiv. Therefore, what's the way we paskin is that halacha lemaisa, my mitzvah, i.e. my own pidyon, takes precedence ultimately again over my son's pidyon. And we'll say, how do we paskin in this case? Shin hei siftes vavashcholach paskins avra avlo pades b'no. If a father never redeemed his son, kishe yagdil chayiv liftos es atzmo. So we'll say, so just, I want to point out a very important halacha. When this child is a minor, the obligation of pidyon is upon the father. Once the child grows up, if his father is not po'd to him, that obligation devolves upon the adult son. So this is very important. Once I become of age, if my father did not redeem me, I have an obligation to go ahead and redeem myself. And I also just tell you something interesting. The Ramah says, this is wild. The Ramah says, V'yesh misha kosev, dekosvin lo altas shel kesef, she'eno nifteh, The Maharal writes, what we would do for such a kid is we'd make for them a little necklace, right? And what would it say on the little necklace? Eino padui. You're not redeemed. So that the child should know when he grows up that no one ever did pidyon aben for him, and he should know to go ahead and redeem himself. So listen to this. Hayahu liftos ubnotos. So we'll say, what about our case? So now this child grows up. He never had pidyon. Now again, he has a firstborn son. So he has an obligation to be paid to himself. But it's very important. The obligation of pidyon when you become an adult devolves upon you. So now I have an obligation to be paid to myself, be paid to my child. What's the halacha? Yifte atzmo tchila va'achakach yifte bino. What's the halacha? Is you redeem yourself first because it's a mitzvah digufei. Right, this mitzvah upon you, so you redeem yourself first, and then your son. Therefore, if you only have five slotim to your name, what do? Redeem yourself first, and ultimately, hopefully, redeem your child at a later date. All right, we'll stop over here. We'll pick up at the Mishnah Mir and Hashem tomorrow.